Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Renee. Welcome back to Renee's Heart to Heart. Thanks for coming by. We had a great show last night. Izzy Kalman is back in town, and we had quite a conversation in regard to Bullies to Buddies and the whole idea behind turning around a scenario where your child is making an enemy instead of a friend. And we had a pretty good discussion about how we think that's supposed to happen. And I think that it is something that one of our listeners said. It really, really has a lot to do with the people involved. And we talk about that a lot on the show, too, the fact that we are all so completely different, and what works for me won't work for you, and vice versa. But I always get a lot out of what Izzy explains to me. He spent his life studying these things and educating himself and being educated in regard to these kind of life issues. Now, I do want to say, though, everybody is entitled to their own opinions about what will work, especially when you're talking about your own children and what's best for them and what you feel is best for them. I learned a long time ago to never assume that I could tell another parent what to do with their child. That includes my grandchildren, by the way. Not that I don't, because I do. I'm very domineering and pretty bossy when I am concerned or feeling that something isn't being done the right way. I have to control myself quite often. And sometimes I'm not successful at that. I will say this, it always comes from a good place. It comes from my heart. Mundane things, things that have to do with everyday stuff that are not of the heart, I seldom get excited about. But because it's so important to love and be loved, I think that's one of our main concerns in this life. And, of course, his idea to get out there and help your child make more friends is awesome. I mean, when you just break it down to that little simple thought, who doesn't want to do that? We all want our kids to have lots of friends and not have to tolerate having people being mean to them. Through the weeks that I've done the show, I have researched so many traumatic stories and so many awful, awful things that happen to kids by their own hand or by another kid. And most of you see the same news I see, and it isn't getting any better. So I really think having an open mind and being ready to try to do things differently is important. But there are a couple things that I stand very strongly on. One is your child must always have somebody to talk to. Your friends must always have somebody to talk to. You must always have somebody to talk to. I don't think life was meant for people to be alone. I think this life and the relationships and the encounters that we have in this life is what makes it our life. So if you can't get along with people, or if you're afraid to get along with people, then you need to be able to talk to somebody about it. All of these things, ironically, maybe it's not ironic, maybe it's more obvious than that. It all comes down to the same things. It all comes down to good leadership, the ones of us that have been here the longest should know the ropes and should be able to teach the ropes. However, what I'm finding more and more and more, and what came out in last night's conversation, is the fact that many of the people that have been here for a longer time and many of the people that are in a position to make the changes that are necessary and many of the people that sit in a seat that can actually mandate certain things, they didn't really learn all the ropes yet, apparently. Apparently, they're struggling with the ropes themselves. If your child, like we talked about last night, if your child goes into school and is being bullied by somebody and being picked on continuously, and they finally, after they've exhausted a little bit on their own, maybe taken it a couple times and figured it wasn't going to happen again, and maybe it's happened again, and maybe it's not real bad. Maybe it's just some kid in the lunchroom taking their seat, or I don't know, the famous things, you know, taking their dessert off their tray, all the things we see on the silly movies that they've made about these things. But they finally come home and they say, "Mom, I'm really having trouble with this kid. I don't want to go to school tomorrow." So now when your kid tells you they don't want to go to school tomorrow, you know that it's gotten to a level that he can't participate in. So he's asking for your help. Now, in Bullies to Buddies and the Golden Rule, the goal is to have a talk with your child and say, "Have you tried this? Have you gone up to and said, you know, I don't know why you have a problem with me, you know, but it's not nice. I don't like it. Please, if you don't like me, that's fine, but just leave me alone then." Even if they could say that. Say they say, "Yes, I've said that." And it just gets worse. So then you make the decision to go to school. Now there's where the problem begins. Because as Izzy says, and I agree 1,000%, once you go to school and you say to the principal or to one of the counselors, you know, "My kid's having trouble with this other kid, and he says he's talked to him, and he says he's tried to make things better, and it's to no avail." Then, if this school has no tolerance for bullying, which is what most of them boast today, the child that's bullying, there's hopefully a little bit of research done, but I won't swear to that on a stack of Bibles, but say there is, and they find out, indeed, this child has a problem and is picking on other students, not just this child, but somebody else, maybe a couple other people. So you bring him front and center, and he gets in trouble, and he gets suspended for 10 days. Well, as Izzy says, is this kid going to like you better? Is he going to be your friend now? No. Now he's really angry. He's pissed. He's going to do worse than he did before. That pretty much follows, and we pretty much know from our own life's lessons that that's probably true. They want to get even now. So I think, and I would discuss this with anybody who wanted to talk about it, we need to understand better. Instead of laying all this on our kids and telling them that it's their job to figure out how to make this better, then we have to teach the grown-ups that are in those driver's seats to be better drivers, to help our children without making things worse and without turning them in to local law enforcement. That's ridiculous. Now, again, let's make sure that we understand the difference between bullying and a true crime of abuse. If someone has hurt your child, you know, wounded your child with something other than words, that's a whole other story. And then other steps have to be taken. But if we're just talking about somebody who's giving your kid a hard time, picking on your kid's nose, picking on the fact that your kid is too skinny, too fat, too tall, too short, whatever, then it's another story. And you should be able to go into school, and the professionals in school should behave professionally and be able to help your child. I'm going to bring Shelley in, and we're going to continue this discussion, and we've got a couple more things to talk about tonight. Hi, Shel.
Hey, Rain, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm losing you. I don't know if you can hear me. Can you hear
yep.
me?
Yeah, I can now. I can now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. So
I just kind of continued. Last night's show was so great, and and we got into some really good conversations. And I listened to this show later on the computer, and I've also talked with Gary a little bit today, and because I've talked to so many other young people who, you know, I think what Gary was trying to say to us last night is that just because you tell a child what they can do, not all children, not all people are equipped to go and have a confrontation like that. They're just not, for whatever the reason. And he was worried about that. Plus that, he was worried about the fact that if they do get up the nerve to do it, and it makes things worse, then you've turned them full circle backwards again.
Right, but the one thing that I was trying to explain to Gary last night, and I understand where Izzy's coming from, I think, a little bit more thoroughly than Gary does. Izzy is never recommending that the kid confront another kid. And he's not talking about going up to him at a later date and saying, hey, you know, what's the deal and why do you treat me like this? What he's talking about is in the moment when somebody's picking on you, saying mean things. And again, we're not talking about being physically harmed because that's not bullying. That's a criminal act. We're talking about just annoyances, the things that tear kids down because they allow it to tear them. The kid's starting to say something mean or derogatory. Then this kid, at that particular moment, it's not confrontational. That's what Gary doesn't seem to understand. He's saying to just very calmly, with self-control, say, are you mad at me? Did I do something that makes you want to say these mean things to me? And just be very, very, almost nonchalant about it, you know? And that showing of no fear, and just like, hey, man, what's up type of thing, the way you would talk to another friend. You know, you don't have to become friends with the bully. You're talking to them the way you would talk to a friend. You wouldn't be afraid of your friend. That's what he's getting across. And I think Gary thinks that Izzy is saying that you have to become friends with the bully. That's not what he's saying at all. What he's saying is talk to them the way you would if you said those things to you.
I think Gary gets that. I think Gary, and he's not, and I don't think any of us, Gary included, because we've talked privately, thinks that Izzy is asking you to have some kind of confrontation with your bully. It's not about that. It's about just what you said, just treating it, you know, like, I don't know what your problem is, but, you know, I didn't do anything to you, and turn around and walk away. Gary even said he would do that, whistling, smiling, making light of it while he was shaking in his skivvies and pretending that it was nothing to him and walking away. And he lived through it. He lived through it, and like I've said to him, he's a very, not just a survivor, but it left him with an amazing set of compassionate rules that he lives by. So,
right.
You know, as far as I'm concerned, he's a survivor, you know. But he's worried about the kids, Shelley. He felt when he did that.
Okay, but
he's worried
things,
about how many kids can do that.
Okay, but wait a minute. He's still not doing what Izzy is explaining. If he says those things to his bullies, but inside he was afraid, that emotion is picked up by other people, regardless of what your facial expression is doing, because Izzy has said this to him more than once. If you're doing this correctly, you're not scared on the inside and putting up a brave front. That's not what his technique does. What his technique does for these kids is it makes them feel empowered and it makes them feel safe when they come back at theirs because it takes the edge out of it. The fact that when Gary was still doing this, and he's not the only one, so it's good that we have this conversation because there's a lot of Garys out there. There's a lot of people who try to act reasonable, who try to be brave, but on the inside they're terrified. That translates to emotions. You know yourself, Rainey, that if you walk into a room and there's somebody standing there who's really, really upset or really, really angry, they could have their back to you, not even talking, and you would know it because you would feel the energy coming from that person. When you are afraid, the person who's trying to pick on you, regardless of what your facial expressions are doing, they can tell that you're afraid of them. So even though he was trying to put up a brave front and be friendly, these bullies were getting the exact reaction they wanted from him because they could tell he was afraid. And that's what Izzy was trying to explain to him. When you use Izzy's technique properly, you wouldn't have that internal fear while you were then trying to kind of lighten the situation and have the bully, you know, feel that you weren't a target anymore. You know, that fear wouldn't be there anymore.
Yeah, but see, I think you are you're making, in my opinion, a very large assumption about being able to teach somebody about those kind of securities after somebody has already been bullied so many times. And I would love to find, well, Izzy made that offer last night. Gary is on the line. I'm going to bring him in because I've maybe been talking
so you know,
a lot for him.
Mm-hmm. Right. But just so you know, Rini, I was beaten up twice before I learned this technique, so I know it works because I'm one of the people that I was beaten up so badly that my face was covered with bruises and I had cuts on my face and on my hands because I didn't know this technique. And the same person that did that to me 2 weeks later was then, not necessarily intimidated by me, but chose to leave me alone because I started acting differently.
Well, I'm not disagreeing with it, Shelley. I get what he's trying to say, and I believe in it. But I'm trying to get you and Izzy to see the other side of that coin, because not everybody's personalities are that flexible to be able to turn things around and change how they feel on the inside. I'm not so sure that just giving them some lessons and teaching them, could he make their lives easier for them and better? I believe that. That's why I you know, was so enamored by Izzy and what he believes in. But I still can see Gary's point of view because I know grown-ups today, people that are older than I am, who have a certain timidness and a certain, it's kind of, shy doesn't even cover it, but they are just not, their core is not rigid. It's not what it needs to be to have certain confrontations. And of course, this brings us to all the things we've talked about the last 2 weeks about mental illness and depression and all the other things. This is what happens to those people. And we all agree, hands down, that we're all different and that what I can do, you can't. What you can do, I can't. We get that.
Right.
What I'm saying to you, though, and what I said to Izzy last night, and I will stand by this no matter what is said to me in the future, and that is every child needs an adult to speak to and share things with. And what we really, really need, at the end of the day, I would like to see Izzy's plan put into action. But with that, the man that he talked about last night, and I can never remember how to say his name, the first one I ever talked about on the show when I looked him up, he's the first guy to organize a program against bullying. I can't remember how you say his name. It's a senior moment, I guess.
Does he know?
Yeah, Izzy knew him, and I've talked about him. We talked about him. I brought him into the show before we ever met Izzy. And and Izzy knows about his program, and it is one of the most well-known ones in the world. But it's all about training. It's about training the adults and training the people that are doing all these things so that they don't act like idiots, you know, and or make a problem into a much bigger problem. Let me welcome in Gary. Hi, Gare.
Hello.
Hey, Gary.
How are you?
Okay, this is such a complex one for me. I understand what you're saying, Shelley. I really do. I kind of resent the fact that, you know, I heard you say it and Izzy saying it, that my bullies felt my fear and that's what fed them to keep going. No matter what I said to them or how I reacted to them, they didn't know I was in fear. They didn't. I mean, I just kind of like acted like a little senile, like I wasn't sure what was going on, and I would try to avoid the subject. I would just kind of like just smile and just walk away from it without it being like, I didn't run away from it. I mean, I don't really feel like they could sense that I was fearful. It's just I was small, I was vulnerable, I mean, I was skinny, so they just knew they could go after me. You know, it was just kind of like a consistent thing. They thought I was gay, and so they tortured me over it. Even if I stood up to them, and I don't know. I get irritated because there's so many kids out there that this program may not work for. And I don't feel like children should have to even, I don't know. I just feel like, you know, they need protection. A lot of kids out there don't feel like there's anybody there for them. So
I agree
going
with you.
To an adult is, you know, that gives them comfort to know, wow, somebody cares about me enough to, you know, help protect me. And I think
right.
I wish I had that. I didn't. I mean, I talked to my mom all the time, but back in those days it was like, you know, just ignore them or walk away. Just smile at them and walk away from them. And that's what I did. But
mm-hmm.
that did not stop them. And it wasn't just one kid. I mean, we're talking, you know, a lot of kids in this school. They had a label on me, and I was the freak of the school pretty much. You know,
how old
I was
are
the gay
you,
one.
Can
Don't
I ask
go...
you how old you are?
Right
Can
now?
Can I ask you how old you are? Yeah, right now.
Oh, 47.
Okay, so We're talking about 35 to 37 years ago.
Yeah, I mean it was a while
okay.
ago.
Okay,
it was
but
in the
what,
80s.
Well, what I'm trying to put into perspective is the fact that a young gay child back in those days, I can't even imagine what your life
yeah.
must have been like. I really can't.
I never admitted I was gay. I never said I was gay,
mm-hmm.
you know? And it was like, I mean, I even attempted to flirt with one of the girls the bullies hung out with. I wrote her mm-hmm. a nice letter, and man, did that backfire. I was
oh,
tortured
boy.
For weeks over that letter. They used things in that letter. She showed it to all the kids, and they just tortured me over it. I mean, they
well, I don't know why it works
word.
For Rock Hudson. That doesn't even make sense.
it was Aww. Just weird. It was just a really weird situation. And, I mean, these kids were just after me. And if I went up to them politely and did, I feel like if I did what Izzy said to do, oh, my God, that would have been fuel for the fire. They would have
well,
found ways to figure out you know, words, or if I didn't, like you said, and which concerns me, which I heard Shelley say, is that you have to approach it the right way. But what happens if you're about to approach it that way and something slips up and you say the wrong thing? That's all
yeah, but,
it takes
but
to have somebody trigger.
But Gary, that's what Izzy's saying and that's what I'm saying. It's not the words. The words are really meaningless. You could say all the wrong words with the right attitude, and you get the same result. And the reason I know that is because I went through this. Now, I didn't have the same issue that you did, okay? but I was not considered popular in my school, and there were some girls there that were really brutal, and two of them had gone after me, and but because of the personality I had, I learned how to. I don't even know. I didn't even go to an adult because at that time in my life I didn't have an adult I could go to. Okay, so I kind of figured it out on my own. And within a couple of weeks, I just changed the way I approached them. When they came at me, I basically stood my ground. And I didn't even say anything. This is the funny part about it, Gary. I didn't even say anything. It was just my stance. They noticed that there was something different about me. And the one girl started in on me, and I didn't even answer her. I didn't walk away. I didn't laugh either. I didn't do completely what Izzy's talking about. You know, I didn't act like I was a friend. I just stood my ground, and I basically stared the girl down. And she got so freaked out by it because she wasn't getting any reaction out of me that she walked away, and that was the beginning and the end of it. But I had been hurt 2 weeks earlier by the same two girls. And it was just, and like I said, I didn't say anything. It was just my, because I was fed up. You know, but, I have a very short fuse. And it's like I just didn't tolerate it again. But what he's trying to tell you is that it doesn't really make any difference the words you say. These kids don't have to learn a vocabulary, like if they mess up on words. It's an attitude. It's really a fearless attitude, like you're not bothering me. Say whatever you want to say. I don't care.
But
and
Shelley,
if there's any fear in the background, they're going to sense it.
But you stated that you said you got into it with these girls 2 weeks before.
Right.
Or a couple weeks before. Do you feel like that had something to do with them being a little more skeptical about you? Because they were like, ooh, we better be careful because she might come after
us. No, because they got the better of me. The two of them jumped me. I didn't even know what they were pissed off. Somebody in the school told them I said something that wasn't even true, and then they got all bent out of shape, and it was kind of like it was just me against the two of them, and I really got pretty badly hurt, and I was very shaken up about it. But the more time went on, I have a different personality, I guess, than most. Instead of becoming afraid of them, I got more angry. The more I thought about what happened, it got me more and more upset. So instead of becoming afraid of them, because they were still taunting me, and then after 2 weeks, I was like, enough is enough. I'm not going to put up with it. I'm not going to go through a whole year of this. And then the one day that the two of them approached me in the hall, I just stood there and I stared at them. And it really unnerved them. I'll remember their expressions to this day, because they couldn't figure out what was going on inside my head. I wasn't engaging them. I wasn't getting nervous. I wasn't yelling back at them. I just stood there and stared them down, and that was the beginning and the end. They never bothered me again. It was like the weirdest thing. They just were like done. You know.
Yeah.
Well, so, and then I adopted that attitude from there on out. That's how I actually got a reputation, and nobody messed with me after that. It was like I could just look at somebody and make them uncomfortable, and they didn't want to mess with me. It's like the weirdest thing.
Yeah, but now see, now what you're explaining to us is somebody who has just learned how to be the aggressor. Is really what you've just turned around to, and that's not going to serve the purpose if we want all these kids to get along with each other. Right, you don't have to be best friends with everybody, but turning into the intimidator instead of the intimidatee is not what we're looking to do either. You made your survival mode out, and it was a great one, but at the end of the day, that's...
Right, but the point I was trying to make, and I even said that I didn't utilize Izzy's technique because he would have said, you know, like be friendly towards them, okay? The point I was trying to make with that story is that the words are not what's important. It's the attitude. My attitude spoke volumes. Even though I didn't say one word to these girls, they could actually feel my attitude. My attitude was different because for a couple weeks I actually was a little intimidated by them, and I literally got tired of being intimidated. So the point I was getting, I didn't handle it the way Izzy, he probably wouldn't like that explanation. What I'm trying to prove here is that the words are really not important. It was my attitude that made them want to leave me alone, because I said nothing.
Well, I what that's called is survival mode, and you survived and you made your way through it, and I've seen you do that as an adult. But
yeah.
I guess I want a little bit more empathy for what Gary's saying, because I get it. I know nobody would ever believe this in a million years, but I was a very shy child as well. And I don't ever remember anybody really picking on me, but thank God, because it would have devastated me. So, and I don't remember anybody being mean to me, but I've talked about that before, and I almost believe that I don't hang on to those things because they bother me. So I must let go of them somehow, thank God. But I can understand where Gary is coming from, and I can understand why, because of what happened to him, he questions the ability of other young boys and girls. We're talking about kids that are, you know, still in middle school and stuff like that, of being able to be so not just diplomatic, but so sure of themselves, so full of, Izzy said last night, you don't need self-esteem. I don't have self-esteem. Izzy is incredibly outspoken. There is no way in hell I believe that he wasn't outspoken when he was a kid.
Yeah.
So, this, you know, and we never see ourselves the way others see us anyway. I'm sure there's people that think I'm intimidating just because of my demeanor, and I'm not really too fearful of saying what I feel. And I know in my history there's been people who are intimidated by me, and I wouldn't hurt anybody. But
right.
it has a lot to do with your, you know, your presentation. So
right.
when Gary tells me about a kid that's thin and little and is struggling with his sexuality and everything, and back in those days, must have been scary as hell. So now he can have that understanding for other kids to know.
But I think what Gary went through transcends bullying. I think what he went through was worse than bullying. And Izzy's techniques don't work on somebody who's just cruel and mean for the sake of being cruel and mean. That's not a bully. That's somebody that's like sociopathic or something. And there are people that when you're talking about kids that used to go after, you know, blacks, or kids that used to go after kids that were gay and stuff, that there was unusual cruelness about it that, as far as I'm concerned, went beyond bullying. I don't know that Izzy's techniques, and I think maybe that's the crux of why this isn't sitting well with Gary, because I think what he went through wouldn't be considered normal bullying. It wasn't just being being antagonistic or wanting to get a rise out of him. I think it went to a different level of cruelty, because I've seen people that, you know, they go after people because of their race or because of their sexual orientation or something like that, and it's different. You know, it's harsher, it's meaner.
Well, it certainly was back in the days that we're talking about. That's for damn sure.
Yep.
I mean, there wasn't any of the understanding of it or anything.
But
go ahead,
the thing
honey.
Is, and this is important to know, and this is where, I mean, even though we made a lot of progress with the whole bullying stuff, I've been working with the bullying project, and I get lots and lots of messages of kids that I could totally relate to of what they went through. It still goes on today, and it's horrible. It's even worse today than, at least when I was a kid, I'd go home and it was kind of over until the next day at school. Now these kids are being tortured continuously, even when they're home, in the safety of their home. It's just as bad as what I went through. I mean, some of these stories I hear are identical to the stuff that I went through. I mean, sometimes it gets me like so choked up and I start crying. It's mm-hmm. like it really hits a spot with me, and that's why I'm so determined. And I think, I mean, I'm not saying Izzy's way is wrong. I think there is a huge benefit for what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think there's another percentage of kids out there that might not be able to do it this way. And that's where I think, you know, trying to prevent bullying, teaching empathy, showing kids how to act towards each other, you know, having compassion, knowing that adults are going to step up and take action. And I mean, I'm not saying the bully has to be grounded or suspended or whatever, but maybe, you know, sit them down and try to get the help that they need so they could start realizing their behavior and start doing something about it.
Well, you know, I think instead of punishment, which is, I think, one of the things that makes any of the anti-bullying laws right now backfire and they actually make the situation worse, there should probably be something like, you know, like a husband that abuses his wife and he has to go to anger management classes and he has to learn why he goes to that point to begin with. You know, I've heard a lot of stories about men who go through these anger management and some of them get turned around and then they end up, you know, despising the way they used to act and they recognize, you know, how unfair they were being by taking their anger out on the woman, you know, and that kind of thing. So if bullies had to go through mandatory, you know, classes to understand why they were going that, they might find out what the reason is and be able to deal with it. Instead of getting them in trouble, they should have to go through counseling because it's not normal to bully another human being. That means that person has issues. There's something wrong with them. A normal person, a happy person, doesn't want to hurt another human being. So that kid needs help. You know, and
exactly.
Maybe if that was the solution, instead of grounding him or expelling him from school and making him more angry, why don't we find out why he's angry to begin with and get rid of it so that he doesn't feel the need to bully anymore?
Well, that's exactly what we're talking about, training
right.
And follow through and the things that will make a difference instead of just punishment. Exactly.
I think the laws are important, too. I really do. Even though, you know, I hear what you guys are saying, but I think the laws are important to give the victims a voice, saying, you know, it doesn't have to be like this, or it protects the victims to some degree. And I agree with you. I think the bullies still need this help that they need and, you know, counseling or whatever, or get Izzy in there and have them counsel them. I mean, but I just think there's got to be something. But it's like, you know, if we didn't have laws against stealing and stuff, how many people would be out there doing it? A lot. So
me, I'd be out there every minute.
But at least we have laws to protect the victims, where it kind of gives the bully, you know, to second think about what he's going to do. Or, you know what I'm saying.
Well, yes, and let me say on that note that this is going to be a discussion one night, so I'm not going to delve into it a whole lot tonight because I do want to have a show that's dedicated to the fact that in so many scenarios, when someone is the victim, they often get treated like they're the offender, and I see it in courtrooms. I see it on TV. I see it in so many different scenarios that it's become kind of scary. But because of the way our laws are written and interpreted, many, many times somebody who has been hurt very badly, they will dig up enough crap to make it look like they somehow deserved it. And that, for me, is unforgivable. Unforgivable. But that's a whole show. And the three of us will do that show together and talk about that at length because I have some stories, and I'm sure you guys do too, but things that I've already researched on and things that I can talk about soon, I hope, on a personal level. So I do believe that is an issue, and I also can understand where Gary's coming from. I remember the first night that you spoke with Izzy, you said, "I don't understand why you want the kid that's being bullied to be the nice one," or something along those lines, and it made me laugh, and I thought to myself, God, is he right or what? You know, that's like the kid that, you're working with a team of people, right? Waitressing. I waitressed for so long, and every night everybody has side work to do, right? And you can't close the restaurant until everybody's done. So you got a couple girls who race around and work their butts off trying to get everything done, and then you got the girl that's been sitting there drinking coffee for 15 minutes talking on the phone with her boyfriend, and her side work isn't done, so she gets to sit there for 15 minutes, and then the rest of the waitresses help her get her side work done. So she gets rewarded for not doing her job. It's the same kind of scenario when you take somebody who has been offended somehow and pick them apart to see why anybody would want to be mean to them and make it okay that somebody was mean to them because they're not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And that's outrageous.
Yeah, it kills me inside. It really does.
I don't blame you, honey. I don't blame
you. Innocent people are getting harassed and bullied, and it shouldn't be like that. I mean, they don't have any kind of protection, and they pick the weakest people. Mm-hmm. You know? I wish everybody could be like Shelley and stand up and take action, but I really don't feel that is possible. I don't feel like
well,
every
it's
kid...
it's possible. It is possible, but it has to be done with... We have to do an overhaul. And it has to not just start with the kids, but it has to start with everybody being educated on how to make that happen. It's not just going to happen by saying this is what we have to do. We know that. We get that. And we respect that as well. But I do believe that if you support somebody and give somebody the proof in words that they're capable of doing things, they can surprise themselves with what they can do. I had a conversation with somebody this week that's very near and dear to me, and they were so far in the dumps that they couldn't even talk when I got them on the phone. And after we got done talking, they said to me, "Why didn't I call you 3 months ago?" I said, "I'll be damned if I can figure it out." And they said, "You're the only one that ever makes me realize that I can do this and I can do that." And I said, "Well, then shame on you for not calling me if you know that already." But most of us need that kind of support. All of us need that kind of support. But once we understand that it's okay to give it freely, then maybe more of it will happen and more of it will be commonplace instead of so rare. But you're not wrong, Gary, I want to make sure that you understand this. You are not wrong for having the feelings you have, and you are not wrong for not totally going along with Izzy's ideas and the way he feels about the way this should be done. But being open about it and listening to the discussions and voicing your opinion is how you will learn how it can work for you better than any other way. If you ask the right questions and get the right answers, then you'll be able to make it work for yourself. You realize that, right?
Yes. Yeah. I'm not anti Izzy at all. I think this program is a great program. I was trying to research it last night, try to get more information. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's things I kind of disagree with. I think there's a part that he might not be understanding, or maybe I'm not understanding. So it's just, you know, I guess he said that his success rate is 90%. I guess I'm looking out for the other 10%.
Well,
10% that it doesn't work for. And those are the high-risk kids that, you know, are committing suicide and hurting themselves over it, I think. I mean, that's just my estimation. I just feel like some people are just so, you know, it just, I don't know.
Well, I think you do know, and I think what you're saying makes perfect sense, and I think you're right. And I don't think Izzy believes that he is I think he believes very strongly in his program and his idea. I believe in it as well. Do I think it will change the lives of everybody who touches it? No, because you need versatility to do that, because we're all so different. But I do think that it deserves the kind of recognition that it should have, so that people pay closer attention to it and understand that for some people it will be that easy. Not for all, but for some people it will be that easy. And isn't that ultimately what we want? We want to help the ones that we can?
Yes.
Exactly. So if we can embrace this and get it to a place where it's more out there, and again, I will not let go of the fact that grown-ups have to be taught the difference between just punishing somebody or getting to the root of the problem and stopping the problem instead of just throwing a punishment at it. That never
right.
helped anybody.
Right.
You know, do you ever punish a little kid and then a few minutes later you go in and say, do you know why you're in your room? Because you're mad at me? No. Do you know why I put you in your room? And they don't know. And they don't know.
Right.
And it makes you question yourself. You think to yourself, and then sometimes when they look at you and say things like that to you, you think to yourself, yeah, why did I do this? What was such a big deal that I made him come in the room? A lot of times it's your own personal anger when you react like that. And I think that that needs to be taken into consideration, too, when you're dealing with stories about kids and having parents go in and raise hell and make some principal or counselor or teacher or somebody feel like they're not doing their job. What happens to that teacher's frame of mind? Where does it go? It gets angry, doesn't it?
Yeah, out of frustration.
Yes. Yes, they think to themselves, you have no idea what I do all damn day. You have no idea. Now I have to be a babysitter, too, because you didn't teach your kid how to behave in school. That's where their head
right.
goes. Believe me.
Right.
So now they're angry, and now they're going to react to the kid that got them in trouble. That's the point Izzy's making with all of this, and it's a very, very valid point.
Right.
And people fix what they think they can fix. You know, that's something else about us in general. A lot of times people address things that aren't even what's broken because they think that they can do something about that when they can't do something about the real problem. You know?
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
But I think we're all on the same page, and I do you feel a little bit less beaten up tonight, Gare?
Oh yeah, I'm not beaten up. I'm just trying to sort it all out in my head.
I know.
It's very complex for me. Like, I probably told the story, but I was a substitute, and you know, when I saw bullying happening, I never reported the bully. I would call him, you know, call him and sit down with him for like 20 minutes and talk to him,
mm-hmm.
and just try to figure out why he's doing this and what's going on. And I would also, you know, talk to the people that he bullied. And I just felt that was my duty, that was my responsibility to, you know, talk to both of them. Not blame them, but just try to get them to understand what their actions are doing.
Right.
And I thought, you know, that was a simple, easy process of doing it. I mean, I probably taught that kid some kind of empathy. You know, he was a big old kid, and he used to bully kids, other little kids, and I was like, you know, these little kids look up to you. They
mm-hmm.
they idolize you, and here you're treating them like they don't count. And, you know, look at the big picture. You're a hero to them, and you should represent yourself as a hero.
Right,
you know,
right.
And take them under your wing. And, I mean, the kid really opened his eyes, I think. I don't know whatever happened afterwards. But it was just kind of like just turning tables around to make it look like, you know, you're not a bad kid. You
exactly.
have to change the way you're approaching things. And that's easy
well,
for anybody to do.
That's right. That's right. And I think, you know, see, when I first started talking to you, Gary, and Shelley is like this as well. We believe in discussing something. The three of us are all like that. That's why we can have such differences of opinion and still, you know, and still be able to talk through it. And that's important, and that needs to be taught to many other people as well. Because bits and pieces of what you say will fit into bits and pieces of what I say, and bits and pieces of what I say will fit into what Shelley says. And eventually we come up with a game plan. That's what brainstorming came from. That's why they have meetings and roundtables, and that's why you don't, you know, that's why there's Congress. Not that I have a whole bunch of faith in them, but you know, that was the reason they were set up like that. But the whole idea is you have to speak your mind, because sometimes what's missing is what's in your mind. You know, does that make sense to you? Sometimes if you're in a room with a whole bunch of people and they can't really make something look like it's the perfect plan, it's because something that's in your mind is the missing piece. So that's why you put it out there. It, you know, there can't be any ideas that come from people who are working from their heart to make something better that are bad. The idea is to get them all to work together and make the, you know, make the right pie dough or whatever you want to call it. So it's about mixing it all together, because, you know, we all have different ideas, and sometimes if we get all the right ideas on the table at the same time, we come up with a winner.
That's right.
You know? So what would be the opposite of a victim? What would you call the person opposite of a victim? The what?
A survivor?
No. 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 A victim versus a perpetrator? A victim versus
the
bad guy?
Yeah,
what would a perpetrator?
Yeah.
I guess that's right, huh? The perpetrator. Because we are going to have that conversation, because, you know, we have about 8 minutes left, and I want to bring up one thing, because today I was bombarded. Everything I saw on the internet, everything I heard on the radio, everything on the Today Show this morning was all about the new, well, it's not new, it's about stand-in, what is it called now? I've heard it so many times today, and now I can't even remember what they called it. The Stand Your Ground Law.
Huh. What is that?
You know, well, the Stand Your Ground Law was put into Florida law in 2005. And what it is if you feel that your life is in danger, you can do whatever is needed to do to keep yourself out of harm's way. It's called Stand Your Ground. Years ago, if somebody was breaking into your house and were still on the outside of your house in your yard and you shot them from your living room window because you knew they were breaking in, you're the one who got arrested.
Wow.
Then they came up with the Stand Your Ground law that meant if you were in immediate danger, if you feared for your life and you did the stand, you could enact the Stand Your Ground law and you could actually pull a gun on somebody, do whatever you needed to do. And if turning and running isn't an option because they'll shoot you or something will happen to you, you can do that as well. Stevie Wonder,
wow,
who has always been somebody that I held in high regard, made an announcement last night that he refuses to come to the state of Florida until they abolish the Stand Your Ground law. So I looked up all of the information about it, and most of the states in the United States, there's very few. There might be 10 or 12 states that do not embrace the Stand Your Ground law, not just Florida. And Florida's our mortality rate has gone down because of this law, they think. But in a lot of cases, husbands and wives have killed each other and said that they were in immediate danger and gotten out of trouble. And then other cases, it's been proven the other way. But all of this came about because of Zimmerman and Trayvon. And,
right.
And it was not even used. It wasn't even a part of the argument. I mean, you have to feel like you're in immediate danger if somebody's sitting on top of you. And
right.
And for whatever the reasons. And again, I never have said, I read what I read a couple nights ago or last week about that, because it makes me just feel bad, because I just feel like Trayvon's life was lost. He might have grown into a wonderful guy. Who knows? Just because he's screwing up as a teenager, he wouldn't be the first one. And now Zimmerman, his whole family, is afraid for their lives. And so, you know.
What a shame.
It's an awful shame, an awful, awful shame. But again, it all comes down to, a lot of it comes down to training. How much people understand about what they can do, what they can't do, and what they should do, and what they shouldn't do.
That's right.
You know, if you take a man who says he volunteers to be a neighborhood watch guy, he's free. So nobody asks him any questions. You know what I mean? It's not costing your neighborhood any money to get somebody else to put their life on the line to walk around your neighborhood at night while you're tucked in safe and sound in bed behind a locked door. So nobody said to him, George, do you really know what you're doing? George, you have a gun. Is it legal? Have you ever had a gun? Did anybody ask him anything? You know, so it's a terrible, terrible thing. And nobody, I don't care who they are, can celebrate the death of a child. It's just not in my makeup, and not in most of the people I know their makeup either, regardless of what it is. Losing a child is the epitome of tragedy. So, but this Stand Your Ground law is a big thing, and they won't abolish it. Because in some cases, it's saved people's lives. You have it in New Mexico, Gary?
I don't know. I think we have something where, yeah, if somebody's breaking into your house, you have the right to take care of yourself.
Protect yourself.
But, yeah, but I've seen stories on the news where it's still debatable, you know, where there was still, you know, arguments about that, where somebody, an old man, took care of, somebody broke into his house and he shot the person breaking in, and somehow it turned around on him again.
Mm-hmm.
So,
wow.
Yeah, it just depends on different situations.
Yeah, I could
well,
see
like
how
I
that,
said.
That could open. Yeah, I mean, I could see how that could open before. Errors, you know, somebody got lost, went to the wrong house, knocking at the door, and somebody else gets a little nervous and shoots first and asks questions later type of deal. I mean, I can see how that, it can open it up for mistakes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's kind of a double-edged sword, I think.
Yeah.
Well, it is. But again, you know, it's like everything else. You know, if you're not there, you know, you have to, it has to go through the system. And that's what I said about Zimmerman and Trayvon as well. There was nobody else there. And, you know, there's my story, your story, and the truth. We all know that as well. And it's not about lying. It's about perception. It's about how you feel about what's happening to you, because you're the one you're worried about. And you can't put yourself in the shoes of the other person, because you're, you know, you're worried about the one that is in your shoes.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Especially in a traumatic time like that. You know, many, many years ago, I was probably 17. I was at the Ithaca Hotel, which was a very old-fashioned bar. There was a big band and everything. And I didn't drink because I always liked to use my mother's car. And this guy that we had just met that night asked, needed a ride home when it was pouring down rain. And I said, oh, I'll give you a ride home. And I danced with him a couple times, but I didn't know him or anything. And I took him home, and I pulled up in front of his house, and he held a knife to my neck. And he tried to get me to do something, and I was scared to death. And you know what I did? I was in the driver's seat driving my own car, and I just laid on the horn. And he jumped out of my car and ran away. So, you know, and I've thought about that, in, you know, many times in the last however many years that is. I got off a long time. And thought to myself, thank God that horn was there. you know. But you never know what you're going to do, and you never know how scared you're going to be. So
right.
It's a bad thing when things like this snowball into that. So I want to thank you guys again, as usual. I think it was a great show tonight, and I think we answered some questions, and hopefully there was somebody out there listening and it pertained to something that's happening in their life and put them in a better place. I hope and pray for that. And so, good night, you guys. I love you both. And from my heart to yours, everybody out there, good night and God bless. Night, you guys.
Good night.
Good night, Rainey. Good night, Gary.
Good night, Shelley. Good night, Rainey.